Welcome to
Tech Heresy. Tech Heresy Podcast, number fucking 5003. I'm Spank Jones, the evil motherfucking kill your sister bastard operator from hell.
I need to reboot the server. I've been asked
exactly. Your sister.
Well, and I'm Evil C, I guess, the resident code monkey.
And I'm Bag, just a general kind of tech technophile. And a developer, I guess.
You guys don't kill people? What the hell's wrong with you?
Maybe. Yeah, of course, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Don't kill them. We just hold them for ransom.
There we go. Much smarter. That's the developer mentality kicking in.
Of course.
Oh, you want more? That's a feature, and it'll cost you.
Monetize
that's
it.
That's right. So, Evil C, why don't there you go ahead and introduce the topic, then?
Okay, well, what I wanted to talk about this week was the prevalence or the hype surrounding what I guess they call them document-driven or document databases and the whole MapReduce paradigm, for lack of a better word, or MapReduce, paradigm that they're all centered around. And really how a lot of people, I guess, that in the blogs I've been reading and talks I've been seeing, how people are really kind of glomming onto this as the second coming of data processing and that kind of thing. So I just kind of wanted to talk about that, maybe get some opinions on the hype surrounding it. Do you guys buy it?
So this is like a shit on the RDBMS kind of conversation?
Well, no, more of like let's compare and contrast, as they would say in college.
Damn
school,
it!
Right?
I really wanted to shit on something.
I mean, I would love. I'd like. The thing is, I would shit on RDBMS too, but I don't.
I hate all those overpriced DBAs.
Well, this is. I guess this is really what my point or my question is. Is like, is this really worth all the hype that people are giving it? Is there a place for RDBMS? Is there a place for document stuff? What, and if so, what they are, and can we really? I don't particularly think that you can get rid of a traditional database. I really, as a transactional thing, I don't think you can beat an RDBMS, not with a document-based system. To me, it just doesn't seem logically possible. I mean, I guess I defer to your
I'm not sure I'm a database expert, but I mean, first off, I'm kind of a relational database kind of guy, though. I mean, I use Postgres. I think you're right, Evil C, because you really can't beat them for atomicity of the transaction and the idea that you can make a transaction, like that you can roll back a thing. I don't know if CouchDB has things like that, like transaction. Maybe it does.
My understanding is a little vague, but my thought was that you can wrap the map in reductions in transactions, right, and then roll them back since they're just discrete operations. But you're rather than, you know, enforcing relationships. So if you try to update a record, essentially just going back in the version of a document rather than rolling back a row in a table, right?
That's true. I'm not sure you can delete a document and then undo that like you can with a transaction in a regular database.
I was going to ask, CouchDB seems like their niche in some ways is that it's like a RESTful interface to a database. So like they just take all that CRUD thing and just make it all RESTful. So they've done all the work for you more or less. And you're just using HTTP protocols to like do shit to whatever. Right?
That's just an interface.
I think that's just the API. That's an interface. I don't think that's
the real innovation there. Yeah, the real innovation is that they're document based, right? Which to me, and this is the other thing that gets me why I think it's a little over. Instead of tables, think in terms of docs. So I heard dictator of CouchDB. Well, because in certain cases, it's actually faster than doing. So if you're going to do
isn't this
reporting,
for like say, like because I know a lot of like from a RDBMS standpoint, at least from like MySQL or one of those guys, if you want to like do string matching like and regex and all that stuff against like blobs of text inside the database, it's crap at it. Like all that shit is, it just sucks more or less. So is that what this is like kind of fixing?
You know, Postgres has a regex indexing, I believe. I might be over. I might be out on a limb there. I don't know.
Do you have like a boner for Postgres, dude?
Do you have no idea? It's ridiculous. It's like so painful.
How are you and the other 10 people that are using Postgres?
We're pretty good. We're pretty good. I mean, a couple of them have the split personality thing, so it's really like 8 of us. But,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I can give you a really great example of how CouchDB would be useful. And Spank, you would know this application because I know it inside and out because I built it, but we're not going to talk about what its name is. We'll just call it Low. So you have this thing called like Low, and you want to put unstructured data into it. I mean, that's the key here, like unstructured data. So you have an object with a bunch of like attributes, and you just want to just jam these objects into the database. Not like an object database, which is kind of a different thing, but you just want this big pile of objects. And then you say, and they have different fields for the attributes. I mean, some of them have different attributes altogether, and there's no real schema to it. You just stick them in, okay? And then what you do is you say, anything that's got a field called name, I want you to index that. And anything that's got a field called MACdress, I want you to index that. And then you can start issuing queries against that big pile of objects, or documents is what they call it.
Does that take a dog's ear to index?
I don't know how it works. What I do know is that CouchDB is written in Erlang.
Yes, so, I was going to say.
Which is kind of wild. Which apparently has a very, very strong parallelization capability. So, I don't know. I don't think it takes that long to index. I mean, no more so than a normal database.
Using Lucene and stuff like that, is that just for the text matching capability?
I'm guessing that that's for the text, for the text
search. Or for the searching or something like that, I would think. Yeah. For the indexing, maybe?
But
the idea is, so then you can map all the... But you can also map... This is what I'm saying with the MapReduce, right? Is you can map all the relationships and then do a reduction down to the crap that matters to you, right? And then each one of those is... So you essentially the map and reduce is tied to the object itself. So you can go from like point A and then spread out and then come back down into the crap that matters to you, right? Am I wrong in that?
I'm not actually sure exactly how MapReduce would interact with CouchDB. I mean, MapReduce seems to be much more affiliated with Bigtable, obviously, because MapReduce and Bigtable, of course, both for Google. But I think Google, like CouchDB and Bigtable, are pretty different things.
I keep seeing the pairing of the two. Like, I always see, like, in one breath, it's always CouchDB and then followed quickly by, and then you got MapReduce. And then tying the two together, and this is, like,
Can I ask you something, though?
Shit.
All right, I'm just going to bust out. All right. Read a lot of stuff about a lot of shit, about a lot of people with all these fancy ideas of how to do things different, and that's awesome, you know? That's great. But, seriously? Who the fuck needs that shit? Who needs MapReduce? Who needs fucking Bigtable? Who needs all that unless you've got a petabyte of data that you got to get through? From my perspective, right? I'm totally full of shit most of the time. But the thing is like, I think those things were built for like one purpose. To get through a gigantic fucking amount of impenetrable shit. For 99% of the population that's trying to do anything with a database, they don't give a fuck. They don't need it. Like, let's talk about the practicality of of what why.
Well, first off, here's the thing. Everybody thinks that they need it because they all think that they're going to be that they're in that 99th percentile.
Unlike Oracle.
I know, but we're most of the situations you could be doing this exactly. With freaking Access or some or MySQL, right?
Flat files or SQLite or something. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, that. I don't really have a terribly strong opinion about this stuff because the technology is super cool. Like, CouchDB is actually really cool. And I look at it and think, like, yeah, I can see that. I mean, it would be great if there was, like, something like SQLite that was small and simple, and I could just, like, throw objects into it and say, here are the fields that I'd like you to index, and just keep track of them for me. And then I can get the objects back. And then I could do, like, a really simple relational mapping. Or mapping from that to whatever objects I've got going on in my business logic.
It's a more natural way of thinking, though.
That's it. Mm-hmm. It feels more natural. But it's also like CouchDB is, as you know, it's like the classic Apache project. It's gargantuan. And it's in Erlang, of all things.
Yeah, but everybody wants to. Well, I guess this gets to a larger issue, which is everyone plans to be eBay, but no one, you know, but two or three people.
Yeah,
right? Like that's the thing. Like everyone, when it comes to software engineering, everyone engineers for like, well, when we become eBay, this thing will
scale to exabytes, right. And you're like, okay, cool. I'll need that when I have $400 million for my infrastructure.
And I could buy your company outright.
But like, I don't know. I think to me, it just seems a very like natural way of thinking in terms of objects. But
is that because you're not a DBA?
Because
your mind has been molded into.
Well, you know what it is? It's because I've become so. To me, doing SQL statements just doesn't like doing. Thinking in sets is not as easy as thinking in terms of objects. Mm. Right.
But then what's next? I think what if you start using a language that's not object-oriented? Then what? Then is there going to be some... Then you're just going to go back to before there was ever databases.
Well, no, I don't see how you could... Wait, that's a pretty big leap. So I don't know.
Is there some kind of weird functional database thing going on? Like there's object databases, yeah. But like functional languages like this.
Yeah. See, well, or Smalltalk, huh? With all the everything with the Ruby, which is all schemes.
Yeah. Smalltalk did that back in '88.
Exactly. I like that.
I didn't know the Penguin was a programmer.
But see, to me, like I guess the document stuff is kind of like everyone when they were all excited about object databases, right? This is more it's in a more approachable way of dealing with data,
right?
This sense because you don't have to worry about fucking normalization, you don't have to worry about relationships and.
But
this,
what
thing.
About
like
okay, so I understand like using MapReduce to do analytics and that kind of thing, right? But like, what about OLAP and those kind of like MDX and using things like that? To me, like building hierarchies and stuff like that, that makes sense to me. I don't know why, but it just does.
But it's a lot easier to build a hierarchy out of a set of documents than it is to build a hierarchy out of rows and tables. And especially,
I don't know. I think in like hierarchy of documents makes me think of like. Collating or some really fucked up thing like that, like.
But to me that sounds like the Unix file system.
What documents?
Right, is a hierarchy. Well, it's a hierarchy of files. Well, right? So file doc. You know,
they use the term document. They don't mean documents. They mean objects. They mean like an object with like key value pairs.
Okay.
Right.
So they when they say document, they're talking about like bundles of data.
That's a confusing term.
Yeah, it's not a good term. This is weird.
You can't call it object because it's already been taken.
Yeah, because it's not really an object database, which is a different thing. So this is weird because, like, when we were discussing the topic beforehand, I was thinking, like, I'm not really prepared for this, and I actually don't really know what the hell I'm talking about, so I'm just going to be, like, you know, shooting from the hip. But this is actually taking a turn towards something I know intimately, because the application that I've worked on, that aforementioned application that Spank knows about, is a giant hierarchy of objects, and it's implemented in a relational database. And the way I did it was by having a table of attributes and a table of objects and a mapping in the middle between the two, and then a table of connections between them. So for the last 5 years, this application has been kind of the core of where I work, core support software, and I've learned a ton of lessons from that. And the most important one is that, you know, it's great to store the data in the objects and be able to retrieve it quickly, but that's actually a really easy problem to solve with RDBMS. And so all this work about, like, you know, building other systems to put the objects in, I mean, that's, you know, once you kind of nail that down, it's pretty straightforward. The really hard part about that is defining the relationships between the objects in the database. Mm. Like, how the documents are related to each other is the information. Mm. In our case, without going into specifics, one of the things that we can talk about, I guess, how far out on a limb do I want to go? One of the things it can keep track of is, say, inventory. And you have an apartment building, and inside the apartment building are apartments, and inside each apartment is a kitchen, and inside each kitchen is a sink. Okay, so each of those things, like apartment building, an apartment, a kitchen, and a sink, are all objects in this database, but they are in a hierarchy. Those things are inside each other, and that relationship is critical. So that if you say, I need you to go fix whatever sink, it's actually, I need you to go to this apartment that contains the kitchen, which contains the sink, which is the grandparent of the sink, and find that apartment, find the number, send it to the janitor goes fix it. So, I mean, I think the stuff like CouchDB, that's cool, but like how well can you define the relationships between all these documents? I don't know. I don't know enough about CouchDB to say. But I can say that is where all the information is the relationships between stuff.
But in a flippant, you know, comment, I would say it would have to be a lot easier than trying to do it through table structures and relationships in a traditional RDBMS. I mean, everything's a discrete object, document, whatever, I would think it's got to be so much easier to do that, right? Maybe not on the input side. I think that's what so to me, I guess where it falls down is, for your app, it must be pretty easy just to do the inserts, right? It's not the inserts that kills you, it's the retrievals and doing this hierarchy on the retrieval, right?
Yes. Well, yes and no. Seriously, getting the data in, getting the data out is super simple. Like, really, you nail it down with, like, some API where you say, I want to create an object, and then you fill it with details, and you say, data, insert into the database. And that's kind of it. I mean, that's not that hard to do with a relational database.
But to loop back real quick, is, like, I think that where the real power of both the technologies of both, like, say, CouchDB, and definitely Bigtable and MapReduce and those sort of things are the unstructured data.
Right. Deeply unstructured stuff data. That's like, just really, like, unstructured.
I, you know, write these random emails, you know, constantly for, you know, every minute of every day and just spew them over the wire. And this thing would be really great at figuring out what the fuck I'm trying to say.
or here's another, all right, going down that road then. How often have you had to denormalize in order to achieve performance?
Me?
Is that what we're talking about this? Well, in general, like, as a, like, so.
Never. Never. That was built into the structure from the beginning. Now,
I've seen it a few times where, you know, like, people are like, wow, you know, this is running long because we've got N number of relationships among, you know, X number of objects. Now, if we just denormalize this table and accepted the fact that we're going to have null values in certain columns for certain records, we can improve performance, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I think in cases like that, now you're talking a performance increase if you go to this document structure, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it's the.
But I thought, I keep on hearing a theme over and over again, which is, you know, it's about the indexing and those sorts of things. And if I took a guess, I'd say that it's probably really hard to index unstructured data. So you guys are talking about normalize, denormalize, all that stuff. Like, that shit's all designed, like, all the objects and attributes and whatever, relationships, all that shit is designed. Yeah, it's nailed all, down. Like, built yeah. in there, and either you did a shit job at it, and so the performance sucks, and you got to refactor it and redesign it, whatever. You know, and that's a whole other set of issues, right? That's just is what it is. But on the unstructured data side, you can't do that. You just have to deal with what you've got. And sort of figure it out.
It's not that hard. Because, well, okay, I should say we have about 500,000 documents in our system, what they call documents, 500,000 objects in our system. And again, it's a really simple thing. There's like a table of attributes that says like, here's the different types of attributes that can exist. And I could create that on the fly. I mean, I could just put in rows if I wanted to. And then you have a list of objects, which is like two columns, and you have a mapping in the middle, which is like object, attribute, value. And so there are no nulls. This is third normalized form. So all you do is you index that one table. I mean, it's not that simple. You just index it, but like you index the values column in that table, and you say select, like, I want to see all the documents that have this value. And you're like, okay, well, select from that table where attribute ID equals this and value equals this. And it is, at least on our system, which is 500,000 documents, which is maybe it's not that many in this realm, but it is lightning fast.
Well, fast. Take that same structure and apply it to like an event system. So like, if you were Facebook and you've got 20 million users, let's say. Oh, actually, let's not go down that road, because this is exactly what I was trying to say, that everyone thinks that they're going to be Facebook.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I think the utility of a system like that only matters to people who have scale issues.
Right.
Or am I just a jackass for thinking that?
I think that's exactly it.
I think that's it.
Everybody
yeah.
wants to think they're going to be Facebook. Right?
That's the problem. Here's the thing. I see, and I'm going to go off on a tangent for a minute, and I hate doing this, but I'm just going to do it for a second. So the thing is, I think there's a new generation of technology people that are coming out, and that's their problem. Their problem is, I'm going to be the biggest fucking shit on the block, and so I'm going to build all this crazy fucking technology, and they don't want to embrace anything that anybody else has done.
Totally agree.
Because that's the problem. I think, you know, like, I read a bunch of articles, too, over the last 2 weeks, and every single person was shitting all over everything that has been done in the database realm for the last 30 years or however long it's been. And you're like, you know what, dude? Figure it out on your own, then. I mean, you think you can build a better mousetrap? Go for it.
Go ahead. That was one of the other points I wanted to bring up, I guess, in this whole thing, is that is this really like the second coming of object databases? Because if you remember, like, what, 10 years ago, maybe a little longer,
yeah.
It was maybe like, oh, objects are going to replace RDBMS. It's a whole new way of thinking. This is going to be the second coming, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that just kind of vanished. And I'm thinking maybe this is exactly the same. Or is this such a specialized form? Like, this document style database is great for analytics and reporting, but crap for online transactions, right? Like just transaction processing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Right. Well, so the thing is, though, like if you were going to do a system that was, well, reporting based, would you not do a document based trend? Would you go with a document database? Or would you go with a traditional?
Evil C, you know, you worked with the system that use the two paradigms together. There was a transaction processing system, and then there was a reporting system. And I think that's just I honestly think that's the best approach.
Yeah, but I would if if I had to do it over again, the reporting system would be a document based and certainly not RDB.
Agreed. I would build it off of a data warehouse.
Well, see, okay, so when you say data warehouse, to me now, a data warehouse, that's the most efficient way to do it at this point. Because you don't know, all you care about is the index. You don't know the relationships. It's all loosely coupled.
Okay,
all
right.
Right, to get to that point. And so the most efficient means to implement that would be with a document base. Now, getting the data in there is one thing, but once you've got it in there, now you have to dissect it and construct all these complex structures, right? Like octahedron base places and shit like
this. a giant oct tree of like
drill down into. Yeah, that I don't think you can do either easily. Well, you can't do it easily in an RDBMS. I think it's just much more friendly to do a document base. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about now, performance really isn't critical, right? It's more like how can I flexibility.
I don't know. The thing is, I think more and more that performance on the data warehousing side is becoming crucial because reporting systems are now becoming real time systems. I mean, people want to get that shit. Like, I want the answer right fucking now, and I don't want to wait.
Here's the deal. Well, Spank, here's the deal, though. You're right, and a relational database model for that is really tough to do because first you need to analyze the documents to even know. Like, you could do it programmatically to analyze the things to figure out how to structure the schema for the relational database. But the real key issue is that a relational database has to pretty much be on a single machine. Like, there are techniques for having multi-master and all these crazy ideas, but I mean, at the end of the day, that machine is like pretty monolithic. And these techniques allow you to parallelize the processing in a way that you never could before. And
yeah,
so
that's pretty appealing. I'm going to bust out for a second. Look, all these ideas of sharding and all this other stupid shit is fucking partitioning. For crying out loud, you just fucking partition shit.
No, it is not. It's a different
thing.
How
is it different? Well,
first off, sharding is ridiculous. That's a total waste of time. That's basically, I'm going to give up foreign key relationships, period. Yeah. Like that's just retarded. Partitioning is a little, like, you don't give up foreign key relationships with a partition.
Okay. But that's how you would basically just...
Is partitioning when you split a table across multiple DBs, or is that sharding?
Sharding would be splitting it across multiple databases, like completely different databases.
But
like,
partitioning, you can do the same thing with, at least on some higher-end systems.
Some higher-end systems that cost millions of dollars, which brings you back to saying, CouchDB looks pretty appealing.
Higher-end systems that run with
Moracle.
Because there's two techniques, right? There's one that says, all right, if you're going to go after account data, you go here, and if you're going to go after customer data, you go here. But there's another one. I keep getting these conflated, which is like, okay, if you're going to go for accounts 1 through 100, you're going here. If you're going out accounts 1 to 200, you're going there. Like, which is which?
The former is partitioning, and the latter is sharding. Although the former is basically like table level partitioning, and you can actually go deeper than that, where it actually the database itself will split the table across multiple nodes in its cluster.
But it'll
maintain transaction integrity though.
Let's really talk about for a second the distributed nature of like some of these databases. Like, so for instance, you've got some crazy, CouchDB cluster crazy shit, whatever, right? So you got some, 380, whatever, x86 machines and, some storage, whatever, some SATA drives, something big, I guess, because, you got to plan for petabytes. And, right. So you got a couple of these machines, you tie them all together, you spit all your code at them, and everybody's happy. And you have to figure out where everything goes, or maybe it sorts itself out, who knows. But if you have an RDBMS or, you know, a more traditional database setup, what's the difference between that and having, you know, a fuckload of storage and you just have a table on every single different drive that you own? Like, you can do, I mean, this. I know that sounds a little retarded, but think about it, though. Like, if you had this, you know, you decided to scale vertically instead of horizontally, what's the difference? Am I making any sense?
I hear what you're saying, because there's a certain limit of what the storage backend will support.
Yeah, but
that way. In a totally monolithic way.
If I had an HBA for each processor that I had inside the system, then what?
Well, okay, you have an HBA to each processor, but do you have an HBA on each disk?
Well, you could...
Are you distributing this storage across all these machines? Or do you have, like, a giant SAN?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, so for instance, if you're going with the x86 machine, and then they've got, like, if you did it like Google, for instance, where they've got, you know, storage on board, every node's got its own storage, right?
Well, it's fine. Well, okay, you bring that up, but, like, that's exactly like Google faced that and said, well, you know, the best way to do this is to have a totally different system than, like, right. Oracle. And besides, like, Oracle clustering, I mean, like, the whole... what's it called? God, it's like 10G. It's the
rack. Rack or
rack,
grid,
yeah,
or whatever.
That is like, dude, isn't that thing is like rife with problems? Isn't it like impossible to manage and has like all these bizarre corner cases and stuff?
In my experience, no, it's okay.
Really?
Okay. That's in my estimation. Now, but when you get to like, if you're trying to do data warehouse, like from a transactional perspective, it's very good. From a data warehousing perspective, it's crap. So if you really put the pedal to the metal and really try and crank I/O through this thing, it'll fall apart. But, you know, but if you have like lots of transactions and you're just like commit crazy, and it can hang, but...
Hey, there's the deal though, right? I mean, that's CouchDB and Bigtable and all these things are not databases, so they're not transactional. They're really about dumping a bunch of data into this thing and then analyzing it, which is data warehouse.
Is this any different than like Hadoop or any of those things, or is this a backend for Hadoop or what the hell? I mean, where does it like? Because Bigtable, MapReduce, I know that's all. Like googly stuff, right? And then,
dude, I'm kind of
confused about this, to be honest.
They're all interrelated somehow, like a bad application.
Right?
Because
I guess Yahoo Yahoo decided to be like, oh, I like all what Google's doing, so we're gonna rip it off. So they found the Hadoop guy, and then they started making that shit.
I think the relationship is like Hadoop is to MapReduce what CouchDB is to Bigtable.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
That's so you have this CouchDB monster. Seriously. so you have this like... Yeah.
the dork SATs, is that? Yeah. DSATs.
Nice.
What's that? Yeah, so you have this giant cluster of CouchDB and then you process it with Hadoop, which is MapReduce.
There you go. Okay, well, I think we're 40 minutes in or thereabouts. We should probably talk about something else. I'm thinking.
I'll sum up my thoughts on this whole CouchDB thing, and then you guys can, and we'll move on. My thoughts are, it's actually really cool technology. All this stuff is really clever. It maps very well to the way that object-oriented programmers think. The problem is that people are implementing it because they think they're going to be the next Facebook. And it gets back to what Nuth said about premature optimization is the root of all evil. I'd also say that premature optimization in the computer industry is also the root of tens of billions of wasted dollars.
Very concisely said.
So, wow.
I think this is the hype around this or whatever is, I think it's the same. It's like object-oriented databases for the second time, personally. I think it's like there's a few people who are going to really benefit by doing this, but everybody thinks that those are the few people. I guess to your point, right? Like everyone thinks I'm the guy who's going to benefit from this, and I think that it's going to flare up for I figure 2 or 3 years, and then everyone's going to go back to RDBMSs because like you know what, there's already a nice abstraction model on top of that, and that's all I need.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Right, yeah,
and here's my harebrained idea. I think this is the DBA mafia creating artificial competition.
That's the knock on the door. You pull the knife in the middle of the night. Help me.
There you go.
Every next time we see Spank, he's missing like half his little finger or something.
You have Spank. We want money.
I know you're gonna have to go and talk to Boris and get it back.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we're talking about whatever the coolest thing we saw since the last one is. Is that the idea?
Yeah. So who wants to go
first? I'll go first because it'll be really quick. I've just been using jQuery a lot. And,
jQuery.
Were you about to say that? Okay.
No. I'm just saying I love jQuery. Anytime anyone mentions that, I'm just like, I love that.
jQuery is like the way that the DOM should have been built from the very beginning. It is so awesome. It makes my head hurt. It's so cool.
Yeah. Like Now, the only thing is I've heard a criticism that the implementation of jQuery has some flaws. So like our JavaScript guy right now at work, he likes the idea of jQuery, but he's like, oh, it's so inefficient in this and this. So and there's a few cases that he can cite, but to me, it's like fuck that. From my point of view, as a user, it's like you know what, you can be as inefficient as you really want, but it's still a client system, I guess, in a sense. Right?
If he truly believes that, he should grow a pair and get involved and make it better.
That's exactly right, right? Like, because to me, like the whole like the idea that you get a jQuery object back for every it's amazing, and then you just chain this shit together.
Yeah, as an API, it probably couldn't be a better conception of how to do that kind of client side programming. I think it's
like you said, especially with the DOM, like where you're just like, okay, now I'm operating on all these objects, and it's going to do this, and it's like, and it all just shifts,
like one line. Yeah,
yeah,
it's great. Okay, so that's my thing.
Spank.
Oh, I gotta go? All right. Yeah, you go.
Well, I'll go.
And don't say Wolf from Alpha.
One thing. Now, shut up. Although I did use that today to determine the frequency of the occurrence of a first name in my sister in law. Anyway.
Did you get bunked?
Point being, did I get bunked? No, I did not get bunked. It hurt, but it didn't. I saw there's an example on Wikipedia of the best code obfuscation ever, and I gotta find the link. But essentially, this guy wrote a C program that spits out the 12 days of Christmas, but it's just all munging. It's completely impossible to read. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen, and I think it was awesome.
It's in the shape of a Christmas tree.
I don't know. No, not the article I saw. At least what I saw was just a giant fucking statement, essentially. But you run it, and it just you compile, run it, and it's the 12 days of Christmas, all in wonderful like stanza paragraphs, and you just cannot, for the life of you, figure this thing out.
It was an obfuscated C code program contest. Where that was one of the like winning entries, and it was the 12 days of Christmas, and it was again like it was just this huge block of code, and you had no idea how it worked, and it was in the shape of a Christmas tree. It was the coolest thing.
Yeah, I was blown away. Frankly, I was like, I wish I was smart enough to think of that. But anyway,
yeah.
It's my turn.
Spank.
Yeah.
Oh. Or if you don't want to do that, we could talk about the Google thing, the Google OS.
Oh, the fucking Chrome piece of shit.
Chrome OS. Yet another Linux distribution.
Exactly what we need. I thought they just like jacked up the that weird Gecko shit or whatever the fuck it is that they were using for WebKit and just turned it into some like fancy VM that would run on a Atom processor or some shit.
So anybody who's actually been listening this entire time will I just went to Wolfram Alpha and put in how awesome is Postgres. Nice, dude. It says, is not sure what to do with my info.
Nice. I think that's probably the most awesome thing. Yeah. No, let's see. Well, I mean, my APC 40 is fucking badass. Does that count?
Your APC? That's, oh, that counts, yeah.
Oh, yeah, your new mic. Oh, you should talk about that. That's awesome.
So I got the Ableton performance controller, and it's badass, and I busted out Bohm's MIDI translator. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's really cool too. Anyway, this thing will pick up all the MIDI, and then you can and transform it into other shit. So you can make this thing do basically anything you want. Like, I'm gonna set it up to start controlling all the lights in the house. just imagine my wife.
The missus is gonna love that.
Like, guess what mood I'm in now, baby? Hello. Wait, so how does this work exactly?
So there's it's USB out, but it's MIDI that it's spinning over the USB line. So there's a little software called Bohm's MIDI translator, and it'll pick up the input and then output anything you want. You can output like mouse clicks, you can output packets, you can do anything. It's crazy. So you can have it type stuff on your whatever. You can have it do pretty much anything. So
dude, this Bohm's MIDI translator looks really cool.
And it's like $20. Anyway, it's pretty sweet. So it's a piece of software. But like that combined with the APC, you can like reprogram the APC basically. So it's not just like a Ableton thing. You can make it do whatever you want. Which I think that's pretty cool. Man. So
it is cool.
Yeah. That is cool. I didn't know if I could go off about that or not, because I'm like,
No, that's pretty sweet. I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty.
Cool. Thanks, guys.